Really good to see you. Good to see you, all of those joining online. I'm excited about getting into part two of our series, The Beauty Between. But here in just a moment, I've got a few things I want to give to you guys beforehand. I want to go back really quickly to the news with those two hilarious guys that I have the privilege to work with every day. And I want to go back to that. And just so this is for those that call Church on the Rock home, okay? The registration for Easter, I want to kind of give you some explanation for it about a couple things. This is for us, okay? So this is for the people that are continuing, like every week you're coming, you're tuning in, you're attending. If you plan to be in the building for Easter weekend, be it Saturday or Sunday, that registration is for you. Here's what it's doing. It's helping us know where the crowd is. It's going to communicate when people register. Let's just say they try to register for Saturday 5:30 and they go to register and it says full. Then they're going to know, oh, I need to choose a different service time. I need to go on a Sunday or I need to go in the different service on Saturday. Is that making sense? Okay. I also want you to know this. It's 100% free. So like we're not charging for this. It's not some gimmick to get your money. That would be ridiculous to begin with. And then secondly, and this is important that you hear and understand, it does not guarantee your seat. Okay, what it's going to do is simply tell us how to manage the crowd. Is that making sense to everybody? So if you want to get in, you still need to show up early enough to make sure that you get in, because what we know is there's going to be scores of people that never saw this news, was completely unaware of registration, and they're going to come. We just want to make sure that we've prepared the way for them. Everybody making sense of that? Is that you kind of understanding? So I'm just simply asking you, please, if you would register so that we can know, hey, how can we manage? And then if we just see an abundance and they all fill up, well, then we have some pretty intense decisions to make. Should we launch a fifth service on that weekend or whatever? So it's really going to be helpful if you do that. And if you're one of those, it's like, look, I'm just totally technologically like an ignoramus. I do not know what to do. We have people here with that green serve team shirt on. Look for them. They're going to help you. Go find them. They will help you get registered for the service of your choosing. That'll happen for the next 2 weeks. Everybody feel good about that? Good clarity? Yeah? You guys okay? It's 9:30. You awake? I know the time changed last week. You all right today? All right, good. So that's just for you. It's also for you online if you choose to be in the building on Easter weekend. We would greatly appreciate that. Before, though, we get into the message, I've got a shout out. I've been doing this for weeks on end now. I've been communicating to people online, and I've been saying, hey, tell me where you're watching from. Tell me when you're watching, and I would love to speak to you and say hello to you. And I've had a lot of traffic of people talking. So they've been saying, hey, man, we watch on a Tuesday night because of whatever reason, and we watch from this location or whatever the case may be. And because I didn't preach last weekend, Pastor Anthony did, I didn't make a call for anyone to communicate to me, but I still got two, okay? And I just want to communicate back to them. And so here's the two that I'm going to communicate to. I'm actually going to put up their picture. I know this seems a little crazy, but if you look right here, there should be a picture hitting the screen. There they are, everybody. Yep. There they are. That is Mr. and Mrs. Davis right there, Jonathan and Janelle. Janelle is my oldest daughter, Jonathan, my newest son, and there they are right there, yeah. And so we are giving them the shout out because they said, Dad, we will be watching from Honolulu. And so I highly doubt they're watching this live. I'm going to assume it's a playback. But hey, Mr. and Mrs. Davis, we are so excited and for you and proud of you. And so our whole church shouts you out, the newlyweds, 6 days married. We love you guys. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. It's awesome. It's awesome. It was such a beautiful wedding. It was amazing. And I'm probably partial, I'm sure, but it's the best wedding I've ever attended. Best one I've ever been to. And I attended my own, by the way. Totally loved it. It was phenomenal. I think my two favorite parts, I'll say this quickly because we have limited time and I want to get to the message. My two favorite parts, though, was what's called the first look. I will have you know, I didn't even know that was a thing until 2 days before the wedding. I had no idea there was a thing called a first look. If you're like me and you're like, what's a first look? That's when Dad gets to see the bride for the first time. And it was awesome. It was without a doubt one of my favorite parts. Janelle looked beautiful, as you saw there. We were just by ourselves out on this dock for a few minutes. I got about, 5 to 8 minutes. It was just her and I and my wife, Lauren. It was absolutely amazing. And then I would say my next, somebody made fun of me, like, when are you going to cry today? And I was like, I pray I don't cry at all. But my next favorite part, for sure, was the father-daughter dance. That was Woo! Yeah, we danced to Tim McGraw, My Little Girl. That makes you want to cry right there. You know what I'm saying? It was phenomenal. So anyway, congratulations to you two. Hope you're getting suntans and having a blast and really enjoying your honeymoon. We're all proud of you and love you guys very much. Okay, all right. And some of you guys are guests. You're like, I didn't know I was proud of her. They are. Even our guests, they're so pumped up. Hey, I want to get right to today's message. There are notes if you're in the building. There are notes in the seat backs in front of you if you would like to write some notes. There's pens and all that kind of stuff. If you're on the front row, just do the reach around like when you used to spank your kids in the car. You know what I'm talking about? To steal that thing. I believe we have these available digitally through YouVersion. Forgive me, I should know that data. But anyway, you can find them digitally. But I want to get started today. We're in this series that we have been calling The Beauty Between. And so what we're doing in this series is we're kind of walking with Christ Jesus in the final days of his life before the cross. And what we see and what we recognize is that Jesus is in this very interesting, if you really study it out, he's in this really interesting reality where Jesus has a very powerful, very important spiritual agenda that he's trying to achieve. But we actually get to really tap into his humanity as a man, and we see this incredible stress and this incredible burden that he finds himself under. And it's interesting to watch the dynamic, him as a man and all the overwhelming pressure of his carnality and his flesh, but then him as God and the reality of what he's here to do for us. So we're going to start right here. This is our foundation verse. Let's see if we can get this. Let's see if we get this going. Come on. Praise the Lord. All right, there we go. Thank you. All right. Hopefully, let's see if it works for my finger. Yeah, it does. All right, we're functional, everybody. All right, cool. So Jesus said these words. He said, I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I'm under this heavy burden until I accomplish it. I have deep appreciation for Jesus's transparency here. I really actually enjoy the fact that he's not trying to hide the fact that, like, hey, I got a mission ahead of me, and it's tough. This isn't going to be easy at all. And last week, Pastor Anthony did a phenomenal job, by the way. I snuck in to the 9:30. That was the rehearsal day before the wedding. I snuck into the back row over here during the 9:30, and I took my notes, and the word spoke to me, and then I snuck out. So if you didn't see me, I apologize. I was trying to make my daughter's day. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, his message last week, he got into this tension that Jesus was facing, where Jesus is kind of over the parables. He's done all the teaching. He was getting to the point with some people, and the big idea was like, hey, look, I'm not looking for your action. I'm looking for your heart. Get your heart right. That's what this is about. And we see him sort of cutting to the chase a little more. Today, we're going to look at a couple of different instances in Jesus's life that I find very interesting and a little bit comical. Let's get started together. In Mark chapter 11, the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, so this is Jesus and all the disciples, Jesus was hungry. Come on, how many have ever been hungry? And he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there was only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. And then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And other gospels say that he cursed the tree so that it would die. Very interesting to me. And the disciples heard him say it, which I find also interesting, that I feel like the disciples are like, what just happened? Like, what is going on right now? Verse 15, when they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those that were selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. And he said to them, scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Can we talk about this for a minute? This to me is very funny because Jesus wakes up this particular morning and, like many people, he's hungry, wants a little bit of breakfast. They're on their way about their day. They're going to do their thing. Jesus notices there's a fast food fig tree off to the right. I'm going to pull through the drive-thru. As soon as Jesus arrives, there's no figs on the tree. And what I see is Jesus get a little hangry. Like, what is going on? came here for some hash browns. I got nothing. And in his frustration, he's like, I pray that no one ever eats fruit from you ever again. Boom, tree dies. And then the Bible tells us it wasn't even the season for it to produce fruit. Like, geez. That's intense. They immediately leave. He's headed to the church. Come on, most of us fight on the way to church, and then we put on our church face as soon as we walk in the door. You know what I mean? We've been beating our kids the whole way there. You stop fighting with your brother. I've had enough of this. We show up to the church. Good morning. God bless you. Good to see you. Right? That's what we do. That's what good church people do. Not Jesus. Jesus just goes into the church and shows his frustration, starts flipping tables, daggum fig tree, they have nothing on it, I'm about tired of this, and he's freaking out. And what we watch is Jesus in his flesh and his humanity expressing frustration. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, this is perfect, died on the cross for my sin, Jesus. And he is cursing trees and flipping tables and throwing people out. One gospel says he like sat down and made a whip. I mean, homeboy was hungry. At least that's what it seems on the surface. And so title of my message today, Beneath the Surface. There's something else going on. And it does appear that we see Jesus in this moment of all this frustration. He's having a hangry moment. How many of you get hangry? Just curious, if you're on the chat today, just give me a hand or say like hangry moments, right? Like that happens to people. Do I get hangry? Looking to my wife, am I a hangry guy? I didn't think so necessarily, but I know some people who are, and I will not call their names out right now, amen, because I don't know if they ate breakfast. But we see Jesus in this moment where he would appear in his flesh and his carnality just to be like a normal guy, and he's having a bad day, and heck with all of this, and expressing his frustration. But what we see, again, we're days before the cross, we see Jesus really getting down to something deeper that if you don't look for it, you might not find it. That's what I want to talk about today. So getting right to it, there's two things that I feel like Jesus is focused on in these two stories that happen back to back in the same morning. And the first one, you can write it down if you're a note taker, is purity. We're going to talk about this today. So he's focused on purity. And then the second thing that he's focused on is fruitfulness. And so beneath the surface of Jesus' flesh and carnality and all this stuff, there's something much deeper going on. And so what we see in the case of the fig tree is that Jesus is looking for the tree to be fruitful, and it's not fruitful. The problem with what was going on in the temple wasn't that people were at church. It wasn't that they were making sacrifices. It wasn't that they had animals in there. All of this stuff would have been normal. It was that they were starting to extort people. They were making profit in there. It had turned from the worship of God to the benefit of people. And he saw a purity problem, and that's where he starts to express his frustration. Now, perhaps his frustration is being shown because he's under this heavy burden, as we read. So maybe he's not responding, and this is where I feel like the Bible says that we have this great high priest, speaking of Jesus, and I'm totally paraphrasing here, but we have this great high priest that gets it, like he knows. The Bible says that he's experienced the things that we experience, and I actually think that it's, to me at least, it's exciting and it's liberating to watch Jesus battle with his carnality here. Like, I don't even know how to express the problems that I'm seeing, and we see it being expressed in pretty demonstrative ways. But I want to start this morning with the second story, and I want to focus a few minutes just on purity. Can we do that? On purity. Because Jesus goes into the temple. And when he gets into the temple, he recognizes things going on within the temple, as I alluded to moments ago, that like, this isn't okay. Jesus is like, look, it's okay to sacrifice here, you should. It's okay to worship here, you should. It's not okay to do it like this, because now I've got people in here. So you would have shown up to the temple with your sacrifice. It would have come from your herd. You would have raised it or groomed it, or you would have purchased it somewhere sacrificially with your money to get it and to take it to the temple as a sacrifice. Now, I don't have time to get into why they were doing that in church in that era. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice who died on the cross for our sins. That is why we don't do that in church today. Okay, that's as fast as I can give it to you, all right? Pre-Jesus, it required the shedding of blood for the purification of sin. What has happened is people now have found a way that like, hey, Everybody has to have a pigeon or a dove or a goat or something. And so I'll just bring a whole bunch of them and I'll begin to sell them to people at a profit. Now what should have been about God has become about them. And Jesus isn't okay with this. And so what he says is like, hey, there's a problem going on that I'm not going to allow. This is not what my house is about. I want to show you a couple of verses. Paul says this, don't you realize that your body is the temple? And I want to talk about this just for a moment. I only have a few moments, so we're going to move quick today. But he's calling something out that, hey, now that Jesus, okay, so at the time that Paul writes this to us, Jesus has died on the cross and there's been a great exchange. So the temple is not where the presence of God resides. You are. So there's been a transference that the temple isn't the church building anymore. So let me say it like this, especially for some of you that maybe you're not frequent in church or you perhaps you didn't grow up in the church. Like, let me say something to you. Listen, there's nothing holy about this building at all. It's just a building. It's a structure. It has an address, and there's some dirt, and there's some concrete, and there's some stuff, but there's nothing holy about this place. What's holy is the people within this place. We can worship anywhere because we now are the temple. So the Spirit of the living God dwells not in a place, but in a people. And Paul's reminding us, like, hey, don't you realize this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. He's really asking a question of awareness. You don't, and here's a powerful statement, you don't belong to yourself. Woo, that'll preach. I don't have time for that, but it will. For God bought you with a high price, and he's speaking of Jesus, so you must honor God with your body. And so what we see is this exchange taking place, and what now is being communicated in the same way that Jesus was frustrated with the impurity inside the temple on the day that he was flipping the tables, there's a challenge to you and me to have purity in our temple. That, like, God is calling us to live with pure, like Pastor Anthony preached last week, hearts. A heart of purity. One more verse to further make my case here is this, that Jesus himself, he said, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law. So he's talking to church people right here. He's talking to, like, me, the people that lead the church. He's like, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. That's strong language. For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. Let me talk to anybody that's in ministry. Talk to anybody that desires ministry, that works for a church. Can I tell you something? I feel like this is the greatest temptation, is to get so busy and so focused on the work of God that we forget about the God of the work. Then it becomes about what we do and what we produce and how we perform. And if we are not careful, the heart changes and the temple gets impure. Am I preaching today? Because I feel like this should be hitting us, all of us. And so I want to dig into this. So I want to give you a practical application, if I can. Write this down with me if you're a note taker. All right? Don't confuse purity with perfection. Don't do it. And too often times this happens, and it happens in a couple of ways that I'll illustrate today. It happens in a few ways because I think it happens to some of us that walk with Christ. And what happens is we start to recognize that, like, there's issues in our lives and we don't have it all together. And, like, you really, really, really want to stop just, like, going off at the handle and having that bad temper. It's like you really want to, but you still seem to kind of mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you really want to get that alcohol issue, like, under control, but you still seem to take it too far sometimes. Or you'd love to kick that habit and get rid of whatever it is that stimulates you or whatever, but you can't. You kind of seem to keep falling into this pattern, or you just can't understand why you can't seem to express the right kind of love to your spouse or to your children or whatever it is. You've got a sort of a social issue at work and you feel like you're the outcast and you're trying hard, like you desire to get it right with people, but you can't quite seem to get it going. And so what the tendency happens is this, that you will say to yourself, well, I guess I'll never get there. And what you've done is you've confused perfection with purity. And so you think, well, because I can't get it right, God must not want me, And I like nothing could be further from the truth. Because I don't want you to confuse perfection with purity. Because can I tell you something? You can have a pure heart and still have a bad habit. Like, you can love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and still have a bad temper that you need to work on. Or still have a sin issue in your life that you're trying to overcome. Case in point, can I tell on myself? Like, one of the most dangerous things that you could ever do, this is why people throw stones at spiritual leaders when they mess up, because you expected perfection. And so the other day, I have this theory. This is terrible. I'm telling on myself, Lauren, I'm being as transparent as I can possibly be. Lauren calls it arrogance. I call it extreme confidence. I think I'm the best driver, period. Okay? I'm not trying to be arrogant about that. I just believe it. Like, I would suit up in a fire suit, jump in the cockpit of a race car, and race Tony Stewart today. Let's go. Let's go. And so the other day, I'm trying to get gas. I'm pulling a trailer. So this is the day after the wedding. Pastor Josh is exhausted. I'm trying to empty out trailers from all the stuff that's going on. I got this trailer, and I'm going to the gas station, and I'm pulling into this pump in this particular car, way far away from the pump. So it's pretty tight, but it's the only open space. And of course, I got to make a wide turn, you know, to get in there. And so as I'm pulling in there to get my gas, I'm pretty close to the car beside me. And once I've pulled in there, I recognize, like, this poor lady's still in the car, but I'm like, well, whatever. I don't know what to do. I got to get gas. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So I just get out of my truck, and I'm about to put gas in the car. And so all of a sudden, first thing I hear is I hear this woman, and she says, hey, you didn't leave a lot of room over here. And without even missing a beat, your pastor is like, oh, well, then you should have parked a little closer to the pump. And I just turned around. I'm talking cold-hearted. You couldn't tell Jesus even lived near me, much less in me. I didn't even look at her again. In my mind, I'm right, you're wrong, get over it. I'm not saying this is right, I'm just telling you the story. And I'm pumping my gas, and apparently, this lady had walked off into the convenience store, and she was coming back out. And again, I'm not even facing her because, and it doesn't matter. I was right. And so I'm pumping my gas, and I'm doing my thing. And here's what, and so I'm turning away from you, which is bad platform presence, but I'm facing the pump like this. And here's what I hear. Hey, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was so far away from the pump. I'll bet Jesus is in her heart. I'm not sure where he is with me this morning. And I said, ma'am, you know what? I'm sorry. I should not have spoken to you like that. And she got in her car and left, and I got in my truck and left. And yes, she's probably visiting our church right now. First time guest, welcome to Church on the Rock. I'm the jerk. And I confessed my faults to my Christ-following and pastor friend, Trevor. Thank you for being my brother that day, because I told him, hey, a soft answer does in fact turn away wrath. The Bible says that, and she proved it. Let's don't confuse perfection with purity. My heart, I love people. I never want to be cruel toward people. That really is, truly, that's who I am. That is my heart. But I have this issue about driving, all right? And I got to work on it. And so what I can't do is make an excuse. Well, that's just how I am, because that's not the purity of heart. So there's a big difference between the two, but we have to understand them. All right, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to pedal here a second. One more thing is that those of you that are outside the faith, or you're not sure about this, or you have a bad taste in your mouth about Christians, it's because you've misplaced purity with perfection. And so you're mad at them because, well, I see him get mad in traffic sometimes. I saw Pastor Josh. I was three pumps down. He is a jerk, right? And so there's no way I'm going to his church, and he can't love Jesus, because you've misplaced it. They're not the same. They're not the same. Purity of heart and perfection are very different. A pure heart longs to be in the perfect peace of God. But the truth is, we have carnality, and we curse fig trees in frustration sometimes. Am I making sense? All right, I have to move on for time, okay? Don't confuse purity with perfection. Matthew 5:8, God blesses those who are what? pure in heart, that whose hearts are pure. So this is what he's looking for. So can I tell you something? Give yourself a little grace every once in a while because Jesus did. Don't excuse it. Work to grow. God will take you where you never... Small steps become giant leaps. God will get you there. Amen, everybody. Okay, let's move on because I am running out of time. All right, next thing I want to focus on is fruitfulness. So we're working backwards to the start of Jesus' day when he goes to the fig tree and he's looking for fruit and there is none. And in his frustration, he's like, I don't want anybody to ever harvest fruit from you ever again. And he curses the tree. The Bible says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and what? And bear fruit. Jesus does call his church to be fruitful, to do things, to have an expression of him. And it's interesting because in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, I want you to be what? Fruitful and multiply, which is why I am aggressively trying to grow this church, because I think that's who God is. And as long as heaven and hell are realities, I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because I want people to step out of darkness and into light. Amen. So if you get frustrated with me because you feel like I make it about the numbers, I do make it about the numbers. I make it about the number of people not going to hell and going to heaven, the number of marriages not failing and happening, the number of children turning their hearts to the Father and not going off into worldliness. Yes, because I want to be fruitful and I want to multiply. Amen. In the New Testament, we're told be fruitful in every season, which is interesting because it's almost like, Jesus, how dare you curse a fig tree? It wasn't even fig season, but there's something going on beneath the surface. His disciples heard him say that, be ready. The Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. Come on, right? Fruitful. We are called to be fruitful. One more verse. Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do to it? He prunes it. This was the verse of the day on so that you will be even more fruitful. Verse of the day the other day on YouVersion. Anybody see it? It was that verse right there. Anybody remember that? No, and Nona Jones. Anybody do the stories? I know I'm only talking to part of our church. You do the little story. I do it every day. Every day. I go to YouVersion, which if you don't have it, you need it, YOUVersion. If you just go to the app store and type in Bible, it's probably going to be the first one to come up. Every day I go in there and I'll tap the story. And what it does is it'll give you the verse of the day. It'll give you a quick little video devotional. There's a little thing you can read about it. There's a question you can answer. It's just a great, I just start my morning with it. I just do it every day. And the other day, that was the verse. And Nona Jones was the communicator. And she said something that really challenged me. Is she said, listen, I want you to notice that those that don't bear fruit, that God is cutting them off. But those that do bear fruit, God is pruning. So either way, you're getting cut. And here's what she said, choose your pain. And it just hit, it just landed like, woo. So like, you're going to get cut, but do you want a fruitful cutting or do you want more of like a hey, I can't use you type of cutting? And what Jesus is communicating to his disciples here is I need the people that follow me to be fruitful. I need you to produce fruit because listen to me carefully. Jesus didn't save us just for us. He saved us to communicate the hope that he has given to the world. And we all have giftings and personalities and things that we are good at, and God wants to use what he gave you to serve other people. That's why our serve team can function with such health. And step 3, join the team, is today if you are interested in that, because we have ways to express God's love and bear fruit. Amen. Little plug, shamelessly. Amen. But here's what we're not going to do. And I think this is going to preach to all of us. We are not going to confuse fruitfulness with busyness. Because today, especially in this culture, like busy is the badge of honor. If you're not busy, something's wrong with you. Like people look at people like, what'd you do yesterday? Nothing. Nothing. Who's got time for nothing? I don't have time to do the 14 things I was supposed to do yesterday today, right? And it's like we wear it like a badge of honor, and even in ministry. And it's like we own it, like, yeah, that's right. What you been up to? Oh, man, busy. You ask everybody, how you doing? Busy. Woo, busy. And our culture is just perpetuating busyness. And so if we are not careful, we will focus more on being busy than we will be on being fruitful. Because remember that the fig tree had a season to produce, which means there was another season for it to take in. And there are some times where the most fruitful thing we can do is rest in God. And by the way, I'm going to teach in depth in that topic with us in the month of May. So be ready. We are going to talk about a thing. Listen, I don't like to cuss in church, but I'm going to say the S word. We're going to talk about Sabbath. And we're going to talk about, I know some of you guys are like, I can't afford a day off. I'm going to prove to you biblically that we can do more if we do it God's way than if we do it our way. I can do more on 6 days and rest with God than I can do on 7 days in my own effort. We're going to talk about that in depth for weeks in the month of May. So be ready for that. But sometimes we confuse fruitfulness with busyness. That because I'm busy, I'm producing. And I'm just going to tell you right now, and I promise you, I've this whole sermon is for me. I just hope it helps you. But I'm telling you right now that I am probably, I would charge myself as the most guilty one in the room. Because I don't know if it's a deficiency inside of me. I don't know if it's something that God still needs to free me from. But when I'm busy, I feel important. I'm like, oh, they need me. Oh, I could do. And what I'll do is I will run myself as hard as I can because I grew up that way. And like the only affirmation you ever got in a Hersey household is if you work hard. I'm just telling you. And so I just run hard and I just go hard and it's due. But what I'll do, gosh, guys, I promise I'm going to land quick, okay? But what I'll do if I'm not careful is I'll get so mission-oriented. I'll get so focused on what's in front of me, I'll forget everything else. I'll forget that I have kids that need my attention. I'll forget that I have a wife that needs me to hold her. I'll forget that God is even my friend. Because God, I'm just, I know, I don't even have time to talk to you today. I'm doing your work. Because there often I confuse busyness with fruitfulness. And I have to check my heart all the time like, hey, dude, time out. Because what God wants is your heart, not your serve, which is why we communicate, and I hope you've heard it if you're on the serve team, that you are more important to us than your serve. So like if you're serving the church and you're unhealthy, that's a problem. We don't want that. We care about you because we don't want to confuse busyness with fruitfulness. I could preach longer. I really don't have time. Let me move on. Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. What do wise people do? They make the best use of their time. They prioritize. If it's valuable to you, put it on the calendar. If you've gone long periods of time without an authentic connection to the heart of the Father, change something, because wise people use their time well. This is a great challenge to us from God's word, a great challenge, because sometimes we just have to I gotta change some stuff. And listen, can I give you some pastoral permission? I would like, as your pastor, if you call me pastor, if this church is your home, I would like to give you the permission to tell people no. I can't. I cannot be there. I cannot do that. Why? Because I'm wise, and I'm using my time well. And so if I want to, and I feel like I've preached this a lot. Some of you, it's going to hit the repeat button for you right here. But like, if I'm going to say yes to some things, I should say no to some other things. If I'm going to say yes to losing weight, I should say no to certain types of foods. If I'm going to say yes to waking up early, I should say no to staying up late. So yeses have no's. If I'm going to say yes to genuinely and authentically connecting with the Father, I should say no to things that distract that time. I did it last night, didn't I, Maria, when you were at my house, and I was so in tune to the NASCAR thing that was on my TV, and I was just watching it, and I just broke away, and I was like, I can't let my hidden secret love of NASCAR keep me from my prayer time any longer, and I went to the shed to pray about today. Otherwise, I'd have sat there all night long watching some dumb documentary on NASCAR, something that I could record and watch later. Do you see? Yeses need to have no's. And I'm, I, I hope that nothing I'm saying is coming across prideful. What I'm trying to do is just like, aren't we all just real? Like real people? And so I constantly need the reminder of God's word in all cases of my life that, hey, like wise people make good use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand. God, what's your will for me? What are you trying to do in my life? What do you want for me? How can I be more fruitful? How can I be more pure? God, how can I keep the distraction of busyness overtaking the reality of fruitfulness? How, God, can I let the not confuse me, my need or desire or hope to be perfect with pure? Like, no, I don't have it all together, but God, I'm trying to. That's purity. That's purity. And so, I just have to end. So, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I want to offer a question to you, to all of you, whether you're tuning in online or you're in the building, whether you follow Christ or you don't. I just want to ask you to just look inside of yourself. Let's just do some reflection for a moment internally. And is there a place in your life where you just need to bring clarity and you've been confused between purity and perfection? And if you follow Christ, then you identify a place. I'd love for you just to begin to pray about that, even right there where you're seated. Pray about that in your home. Is there a place in your life where you've recognized, man, I've completely confused busyness with fruitfulness? And the enemy, it's such a fine line. And so the enemy's just kind of tricked me a little, and I find myself at a place. If that's you, I'd love for you to just begin to pray about that. But maybe you don't follow Christ Jesus, and something happened today. Something I said, a powerful move of the Spirit of God in your heart has caused you to reevaluate that, you know what? Maybe the reason I've been pushing back against Jesus is because I've expected his people to be perfect, but now I recognize that they're just trying to be pure. And so maybe that alone just sort of deteriorated a barrier for you. That's like, hey, I can, Jesus, you know what? I actually think I can trust you with my life because I think I can be pure. I just know I can't be perfect. And so if that's you, I want to invite you right where you are, no matter whether, again, whether you're tuning in online, watching a playback, or you're in the building, I would love for you to simply do one thing for me this morning, and that is this: make a decision. And the decision I want to invite you to make is to follow Christ Jesus. Join us in a journey of following him and learning and growing, being pruned, being fruitful, being pure. And so if that's you, and today you're like, yeah, I'm there. I'm ready to make that decision. All I want to do is lead you in a very simple prayer. And if you're in the building, you know how we do it. If you're a guest, follow along. You'll catch on quickly. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. Because I want to help you with the words for you to step into a relationship with Jesus. And I always ask everybody in the church building to repeat this prayer with me because I want the people that may be saying it for the first time to be able to say it very confidently. So here's our prayer. I want you to say this. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can we give God praise for those that made that decision? Amen. Love you guys. Thanks for being here.